Open your Bible, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. This is one of those traditionally shell-shocked services of the year. First, you go through the preparation for Thanksgiving. And then you go through Thanksgiving and all of the, I really shouldn't be eating this much, thoughts. And then you go through all the remorse of Thanksgiving evening. That's before you have the late night snack of all the leftovers and bring them out again and have to repent doubly and wonder if God forgives you for the same sin twice in one day. And then the next day is Black Friday. And so then you have to be forgiven of all the covetousness in that. I found myself on Thanksgiving evening at Walmart in a line, and I was just wondering, what am I doing here in a line on Thanksgiving evening, what am I doing here? But it was worse than that. And the people kept walking up to Bonnie and me and looking at us kind of funny, and I thought, why do they keep looking at us like that? People who knew us, they'd look at us, kind of look behind us until I looked behind us, and I realized we were standing in front of the beer cooler there and in the line. So anyway, it's been kind of an emotionally up and down time for us here. So one of the flat services of the year. But we're glad to be back here, and we're trusting the Lord is going to energize us today by His Spirit and energize you and wake you up. When you've been, your heart and your mind and everything has been one direction, and God wants to bring you back in and restore you, I think there's probably a way around all this. I haven't figured it out yet, but I think there must be a way to walk in the Spirit 24 hours a day, 24/7. And so I think maybe the Lord's going to bring us around to a little bit of that this morning. Can I ask you a question? How much spiritual power do you have in yourself? Now, don't answer that too quickly. It is a little bit, I don't intend it to be tricky, but it is a little bit of a trick question. How much spiritual power do you have in yourself? Last week, we preached from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, where it says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, the scriptures preceding that are important. In fact, they're imperative that we see them. Verse 16 says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now take that verse, if you will, and apply it to the question that I just gave you. He says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That is not a might of possibility. It is a might of reality. It is a might of method. God has made it possible. He has created the method already where you can be filled with all the fullness of God. So how much power do you really have in you, within yourself, if you're filled with all the fullness of God? The story changes rather markedly, doesn't it, when you understand that? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and hope that He will open this up further to us. Father, we come to You now and we pray that Your will would be done, that Your kingdom would come. We pray, hallowed be Thy name today. Father, I don't have it within my ability. I've been distracted this week, as have all these other people. And God, I don't have it within my ability to preach Your word and make it really as believable as it truly is, as to be believed as it truly is. Now, Father, I pray that You would gather our hearts together. Unite our hearts to fear Your name. Unite our hearts to understand Your word. And we'll thank You so much. Fill us with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. in times of distraction like this, I think Satan loves to come in and exploit our fallen and negative Christian nature, sin nature. And one of the things that he does is that he convinces us that we cannot, that we can't. Have you ever noticed how quickly the average person decides that he can't? It's not like you quickly decide that you can, but the average person, anytime he gets off of familiar ground, he says that he can't. For example, last week when I preached on that subject about being full of all the fullness of God, I gave you an illustration about a young woman who was at a youth retreat that I did in my younger years. And this young woman came to me on the second night of that youth retreat after having fully surrendered her life to Christ. And she said, "Oh, Tom," she said, "I am so full of God right now. I am so full of God." Her eyes were glistening with tears. It was obvious that this was true and real to her, that she was so full of God. Now, when I told that story, there were probably at least two different responses in the auditorium. One was, "Oh, that's so good for her. But I could never be like that. I am just your average person. I'm just your average layman. And I could not. I could not be like that." That's the "I can't" response. And then there was that other person who said, "Yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want to be full of all the fullness of God." Now, the fullness of God is not an optional thing for a believer. It is an essential thing. In fact, it reminds me of oxygen. When you talk about oxygen, most people don't say, "Well, I can take it or leave it." Instead, they understand that there is a need for it, and you never really understand that until you feel threatened a little bit about it. Have you ever been in a situation where your oxygen supply was threatened a little bit? Or where you felt like it was threatened a little bit? I remember as a kid swimming under an old-fashioned wooden dock, and I got disoriented under that dock and couldn't find my way out, and it was I was underwater. I couldn't get my head above water because there's wood over my head, and I remember the horror of that moment of being caught and trapped up under there. And I got out. I had several bruises on my head when I got out, but I got out. It's funny how desperate you become for oxygen when you can't get it. I was reminded of that story, a month ago, because I was trying to help my mom and dad, and they had a problem with some of their heating ducts. They needed to be rerouted, and so I went up under their house in the crawl space of their house to do some work up under there. And you men, we've all been at one time or another in a crawl space, right, Dave? I mean, you've been there, haven't you? Have you ever been in a tight crawl space where the floor was low and the ground was high, or it seemed that way? And so that's the way it was there. And I'm a little bit claustrophobic. And I have to talk to myself before I go into a quiet place. I say, "Now, Tom, you are not going to die. And if you do die, you're saved, so you'll go to heaven. Nothing bad about going to heaven. So you are going to be okay." I have to talk to myself several minutes, and then I can go into the tight place and keep talking to myself, keep praying. I get caught up on my prayer life up under there. God, help me not to die. But what you do when you're claustrophobic, you feel like you can't breathe. You feel trapped like a rat. Well, this particular time, I crawled up under there, and there was a big, huge, flexible pipe up under in the crawl space there. And to get to what I needed to work on, I needed to get past that pipe. The only problem was that the flexible pipe filled the whole opening there. And it went from floor joists all the way down to the ground. And so I thought, well, it's a flexible pipe, and I'm still skinny and thin like I always was. And so I'll just push the pipe up, and I'll slide under it. And I'll get up on the other side over there. I will not die. I've already talked to God about this. And so I'll crawl up under this pipe. So I skimmed. What are you doing exactly? I moved myself up under that pipe. And you know how it works. You go under and the pipe goes across your face like that. And so I got under. I'd already poked my light up in there. And so I got under there, and I realized what I couldn't see before I got over there. Just on the other side of this pipe was this brick wall. And on the up over my head was another brick pier column, and down at my feet was another brick pier column. I was trapped like a rat up under there. And so I considered that for a reasonable amount of time. I think it was about 3 seconds. And I came to a conclusion. I got to get out of here. Help! And so, but I knew if I started screaming, my dear mom, who's 85, my dad, who's 89, would kind of get a little nervous about it. So I knew I couldn't scream. I just had to get out of there. And so with my last sane thought, I began to claw at that pipe and claw back under it. So I'd gone under like that, and I came back like that, and I crawled out of there. And you know the feeling that is foremost in your mind. I can't breathe. I need oxygen. And so I went out there, and I crawled over to the opening out to the outdoors, and I went, Now, just use your imagination. Do you think I wanted just a little puff of air? Or did I want all the fullness of air and oxygen that my lungs could hold? Do you think I went... No. I wanted to breathe deeply. I wanted the fullness of oxygen. Let me tell you something, beloved. God did not design us for just a little bit of oxygen. He designed us to have the full use of our lungs so that we take it all in. And spiritually, likewise, God did not design you to have a portion of Himself. He designed you to have all the fullness of God, and you feel it very keenly when you do not have all the fullness of God, just like I felt it keenly when I didn't have all the fullness of air that I needed. You need it. God designed you. Get it? He designed you to be full of all the fullness of God. Now, for the teachers among us, I have to get the theology of this right. All of you who are teachers know that when a person gets saved, they receive all of God. Scripture says that our body, 1 Corinthians 6:19, becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. We get all of God at that time. But sometimes God, though He is in us, does not fill all of us because God, being a gentleman, doesn't go where He's not invited, where He's not wanted, and we rather confine Him to a portion of our being. And therefore, we're not filled with all the fullness of God. And that is the real issue. It's like breathing. There may be plenty of oxygen out there, but until you and you're willing to take it all in, you don't have all the fullness of God, though all the fullness of God is actually there. Now, beloved, most likely you are here today and you're thinking, you know, that sounds so good, but exactly how do I get there? What do I need to do to get there? Well, first of all, understand something. You're probably thinking, why wasn't I thinking about that till I got here this morning? Until you brought it up, I didn't realize it. It's because, well, let me illustrate first. Are you familiar with the disease called COPD? What is it? Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD. If you've ever seen someone who had this disease, you know how terrible it is. It's a combination of emphysema and chronic bronchitis. But the effect that it has on a person is that they're unable to breathe in like they need to. Their lungs are either full of unpleasant fluid or else their lungs just don't have the capacity to open and draw in like they need. The capacity is not there. And the problem is that disease comes on rather slowly. And the person, as it comes on and as his lung capacity is reduced, he doesn't really realize it until it's in full bloom in his life. He doesn't realize that he's not getting all the oxygen because he gradually gets used to it. Well, beloved, on a spiritual level, that happens to us on a regular basis. we become less full of God's Spirit, less able to have Him there, and yet we don't realize it because we've slowly gotten used to it. It's come on us slowly, and we feel somehow that our spiritual lives are not what they need to be, but we don't know exactly what's going on. If you watch these people with COPD, they're there and they're breathing very shallowly, but they don't really realize it. And you talk to them about it and they say, well, you get used to it. You just kind of get used to it. Beloved, can I ask you, have you gotten used to having less of God than He wants you to have? Less than the fullness of God? And you've kind of convinced yourself, well, this must be the way it's supposed to be. This must be all there is. Can I tell you, it is not all there is. I'm not a confrontational person, but God says in His Word here that you and you and you can have all the fullness of God, and I can have all the fullness, and that we can be filled with it, absolutely and completely full of it. Now, what needs to happen there? Well, first of all, you can be strengthened. You can be strengthened beyond your own abilities. Look at Ephesians 3 and verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now, either with your pen or your marker or just your mind, draw a circle around that word strengthened there. There are two facts that all of us know, though they may not be our focus this morning. The first fact is that many Christians feel their weakness very keenly. It bothers them. They know that they're weak spiritually. They know that all the fullness of God is not there, and they feel it very keenly. The second fact is that most feel that nothing will ever be done about it. It's almost like they feel stuck in the mud of mediocrity, and they feel like nothing will ever be done about that. But beloved, I want to tell you something. God has the wonderful fact here, and He lays it out, and He says, I want to grant you to be strengthened with all might. God says that you do not have to remain where you are. God says that you can be strengthened and you can be more than you are right now. You can have more of God. In fact, you can have all the fullness of God, even though you may not feel it right now. And I want you to notice how this starts. He says that He would grant you. Now, I know this is one of those Sundays where you just kind of get still, the heat warms up, you know, the body heat gets to moving around here, and you get that kind of slow, dazed feeling. But look, if you will, at verse 16 again. The Bible says that He would do what to you? Grant you. Now, what is a grant? Do you go out and you earn a grant? No, a grant is something that's given to you. And the Bible says that God wants to give you something. He says to grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened. This all starts, beloved, when you go and apply for a grant. You know, we're in a university town here, and there are researchers, scientists, all down there at the university who are constantly applying for grants. They may be studying cancer. They may be studying this, or they may be studying that, hopefully to help the American people, the people of the world even. And so they apply for these grants, and they get the grant, and they study. Now, the grant is not the work. They apply to get the grant to finance the study that they do that hopefully is to help. Now, beloved, what God wants to do is He wants to grant you all the support you need to be strengthened. You understand that? That is a grant. The first step toward having all the fullness of God is to come and ask for the grant. You apply for the grant. I'm convinced that anytime you feel flat, anytime you feel that you don't have all of God, the first thing to do is just admit it. Look up to God right here at this moment and say, God, I am not there. I just don't have all your fullness. But it sounds like such a wonderful idea. To be able to breathe in all that you have, let you fill all of me. How does it feel when you've been in some stuffy office or you've been in some stuffy place all day, in a factory that you might work in the office, in the plant, whatever you work, and you get to go out into God's fresh air and you go, ah. You understand that that might be available to you spiritually as well? Where you could breathe in. Those of you who love the outdoors, are you with me now? Do you know how the air feels on a cold winter morning when you step out to go deer hunting? Do you know how it feels when you step out? Oh, it's just so wonderful. And you just want to breathe it all in. See, God has that for you spiritually as well. And He wants you to desire it. He may be putting in your heart right now to desire it. And if you desire it, ask for it. We'll give an invitation at the end of the service. If you desire to be filled with all the fullness of God, first thing, sit down, humble yourself. Say, God, I'm not there. I'm not filled with You. I'm filled with a lot of things, but not You. And God, I desire that. And then He says that He would grant you to be strengthened. That word is an interesting tense if you look at it in the original. It means a process of being strengthened. It means exercising to be strengthened. Those of you who played sports in your youth, do you remember the training, the exercise that you went through to be strengthened? When I was in the ninth grade, everything on my body had decided to stay the same size except my height. And I had grown, I was somewhere in the ninth grade, somewhere around 6'3", 6'4", maybe. My memory's getting fuzzy in these days. I weighed, all our people heard this, I'm just telling it for the visitors, okay? But I weighed 125 pounds. I was 6'3". Now that is the definition of skinny, right? I was just so skinny. But everybody came up to me. Coaches would meet me going down the hall and they'd say, you ought to play basketball. And I thought, yeah, I ought to play basketball. And they'd say things like, no telling what you might be able to get a college scholarship as tall as you are. And I thought, college scholarship, that's a good idea. And so I went out for basketball, but they forgot to tell me something. That being tall is not all. There's more to it than that. So I remember going out there, and you know, they teach you all the things. They teach you how to line up and get in your particular formation for the play, and they teach you where you stand when somebody's shooting a foul shot, and they teach you all these things. And I remember them talking about the way you get rebounds when you're lined up for that foul shot. They said, okay, you get there in your little space, and you spread your legs out like this, and this other guy's over here is going to be trying to get the ball too. And so what you do is you step out there and get in his way and box him out and just push him out of the way like that. Sounded simple to me. I got out there, and there was this little guy next to me. I thought, you're mine, buddy. And I was going to push him out of the way, and I stepped over there and put my gigantic body in his way and shoved like that, and suddenly I was up in the air. Because he had gone down under me with his stocky short body and he had lifted me up. And I was just trying to stay upright after that. And then over on the sidelines, here was the helpful Coach Shank. Coach Shank. That was his name. And he was over there watching me like this. And Coach Shank had a chin that you could have landed an airplane on. You know. Just. And so he was out there and he had that chin stuck out. And he said, Tommy! I told you to box him out. Now get over there and put your leg out like that. And he wasn't talking about legs. He said, put your leg out like that. And he said, you box him out. And so I said, okay, I'll box him out this time. He won't get me again. He said, get lower and box him out. So I got lower and I boxed him out. And there I was. This time he just shoved me out of the way. He said, didn't I tell you to box him out? And I wanted to say, you get over here and box him out. I can't box him out. Well, back before the days of fancy weight rooms and strengthening programs in schools, they had their own system that they used. They would call all the skinny guys in at the end of the school year, at the end of the season, and they'd say, all right, boy, here's what you need to do, boy. They said, here's what you need to do. You need to get you a summer job, but don't get you a job in a store somewhere. Don't get you a job in an office somewhere where you sit at a desk. Get you a job in construction. Get out there where you have to pick up heavy stuff and lift heavy stuff, and it'll build you up. That was their whole strength training program. It'll build you up. And so anyway, I did eventually get a job in construction. I found out you really can't get strengthened a whole lot in 2.5 months or so. But I got a little stronger, got where I could hobble through that. But when I really learned that lesson, that your body can be strengthened. See, that's what they were telling us. They were saying your body can be strengthened. When I learned that was years later, because God at one time for another reason took me out of ministry when I was 33 years old and made me do grunt construction. I remember being out there with my pick on my shoulder, or I might have my shovel in my hand, and we were digging footings for a house. Any man here know what I'm talking about? We dug them by hand and got out there, and we mixed our mortar. My boss didn't believe in machinery. I was the machinery, and we mixed the mud with the shovel like that. And we got out there and worked and worked. I thought I was going to die. I'd come driving home in the evening after riding about 40 minutes from the job site, and I would tell my legs to get out of the car. My legs wouldn't obey. And I'd have to reach down and grab my leg, Bruce, and put it out like that, get the other leg, put it out like this. I was just so utterly whipped, so sore, hurt so badly. But at the end of 3 years doing that, I noticed that something had happened. I noticed it most particularly one day when we had built a house and we were moving in that new house, and some evil person had given us this piano. It was one of these piano models that old people have in their houses. It's been there for about 150 years. If they give you a piano and it was made in the 1800s, don't take it. Because eventually you will have to move that thing. And they have lead ballast in them. And those things weigh so much. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? They weigh so much, they'll tell you to bring 6 men to move one of those things. So anyway, we were moving that piano in. And so it got worked around. I had 4 people. And it worked around. 2 were supposed to be on one end and 2 on the other end. But the way we got boxed in there, the 3 guys were inside the house. I was left outside with my end of the thing. And I thought, my, do I even dare do this? And I grabbed the end of the piano there, and I lifted, and it came up. And I picked it up over that step, and I set it in the house. I was waiting for something to snap. And I put it inside the house, and I straightened up, and I felt good. I thought, I just lifted the end of one of those pianos up and I put it in the house. How did that happen? It felt so good. I wanted to do one of those dances they do in the end zone. You know, I just felt so good. I'd been strengthened by what I'd been through. Now, that long, silly illustration is just that. Do you understand that God is saying that you can be strengthened spiritually just like you can be strengthened physically? God desires to strengthen you, and it's all in the spiritual exercises that you take. Spiritual exercises like reading that Bible on a daily basis, memorizing key portions of that Bible, meditating on them. God, what do you mean by this? How do you want to apply this to my life? And once He shows you how to apply it, you say, yeah, that's what needs to be changed. That's what I'm doing wrong. And you apply those things. It's just like lifting this and lifting that. You're strengthened with might, by His Spirit in your inner man. It's you getting down, getting a list of things that are significant in your life and praying about those things and saying, God, will You hear me on this? Memorizing Scripture about prayer and learning that and you go through those scriptural disciplines and exercises of Bible study and Bible meditation and application and prayer, and you go through that and you're strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man, and after you get through, you will feel so good. You will feel so good. You will be a changed person. Now, I found out that on a physical level, you have to keep those exercises up. Because if you don't keep the exercises up, what happens to you? It's kind of like getting old. You get a little flabby, or you get a little bony. That was blunt enough, wasn't it? You get a little flabby. Somebody asked me, said, look, Brother Tom, do you find yourself getting, as you've gotten older, do you find yourself getting flabby, or are you the type who gets bony? I said, yes. It's hard to believe you can be flabby and bony at the same time, but some of you understand, don't you? And that can happen spiritually as well. But I think I've milked that illustration for all I can get out of it. I think I'll go back up here. You can be strengthened by might, by His Spirit in your inner man. Secondly, God will work through you. God will work through you and in you. I asked the question as we began, how much power do you have in yourself? Well, as I've already admitted, there's a little bit of a trick in that question. The fact is that you have all power in you. You say, Brother Tom, haven't you always taught us that we have no power within ourselves? No, our flesh has no power. We ourselves have no power that originates with us. But the fact is that if God's Spirit has moved inside you, you have all the power you need that's already inside you. God has already given you the ability and the power and the omnipotence within you because He lives in you. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, now look at this, that worketh, what does it say? In us. Now, would you, if you will, just read that verse with me? According to the power that worketh in us. Here we go, all together. According to the power that worketh in us. We need to understand that. That God has already given the power is already in us, and that is one of the things that leads to all the fullness of God, that the power is in us. See, we tend to think about that verse, and it is an inspirational verse, isn't it? We quote it a lot, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. But we think about that power as something that's separated from us. But God says, no. It is the power that worketh in you. See, it's God's will that His work be accomplished through His servants, and He loves to have His power working in you and through you. It's part of being full of all the fullness of God. Now let me move quickly. Number three, God has already given the grace. Look at Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given, now notice the tense there, is given grace, that means we've already got it, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now a lot of times people ask me, they say, Pastor, I have a problem with motivation spiritually. They say, sometimes I just want to do what I want to do and I don't want to do what I really ought to do. What's going on there? Well, the problem is a failure to access God's grace. See, God's already given all the... Grace is the want to that God wants to put in you, in fact, has already put in you. Grace is the desire and the power to do God's will, to do the right thing. And the Bible says that He has given grace, but look at this, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The fourth thing is God has already given you the gifts that you need. Now, what is a gift? A gift is something that rises above ability and skills. We all know, particularly those of us who are parents, that all children are born with certain abilities. You know, you'll have one child, and the child will constantly fall. And then you'll have another child, and that child just has a strange agility. Always seems to land on his feet. The children are just different. And, you know, certain people are born with the ability to hear notes. They may be able to sing. Others of us are just not blessed with that. We just don't hear it as well. We can't, and if we can hear it, we certainly can't make that sound. We can't imitate that sound. And so there are certain abilities that we're born with. Those are abilities. Some people are born with these great resonant voices. Some people are not born with those things. We have certain abilities which we're born. And then as we go through life, we may develop certain skills. A skill is just something that you've practiced and learned to do by the practice, by the experience. A gift is something altogether different. A gift is a special ability that comes only from God. It is a grace gift that God gives to you when you get saved. It is an ability that is beyond your abilities. I've seen it so many times. Have you ever seen someone get saved or really get right with God and something that had previously been a weakness with them suddenly becomes a strength with them? I've heard people who said for years, well, I just cannot speak publicly. I'm just not a public speaker. God designed me to be a background person. But I have watched that person get saved, or else I've watched them surrender totally to God, and I've seen that flip-flop. I've seen God's grace begin to work in their life, and suddenly they have this desire, the grace to speak out. And they open their mouth by virtue of the grace, and suddenly something comes out that is profitable for the people of God, for the church of God, profitable for the lost. And their former disability, in a sense, becomes a strength. In fact, God says something about it. He says that our sorry, I lost the verse. Our strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Thank you, Christian. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And God loves to go out and find some area in your life in which you're weak. Your natural abilities do not equip you. And He loves to reach out and make you strong in that area. In my home church, there were three of us who were called to the Lord's work at about the same time. There was one guy who was a very gifted basketball player, had been one of the stars of our high school basketball team. He was one of them. I was another. And then there was a guy, I think I may have told you this story, whose name was Connard Hatfield. You say, where in the world did he get a name like that? Kentucky. His family was one of the original Hatfields of the Hatfields and McCoys. Connard Hatfield. Connard was a mumbler. Have you ever met someone like that? And when you talk to him, he said, what? And he was just a mumbler. And so when Connard announced that God had called him to preach, I was just stunned. I thought, what in the world? Is this going to be some kind of new phenomena, the mumbling preacher? Is he speaking in some language that we don't understand? Do we need to call in the interpreter here? What needs to happen? And I was just stunned by that call to preach. So anyway, got time for him to preach his first sermon. Justin, you can imagine how nervous he was when he got to the point of preaching his first sermon. And he got time to preach his first sermon. I said, I got to go see this. I just can't believe this. And so I came there. He's preaching his first sermon. He announced his text. Said, I'm going to preach on one of the sayings of the cross. And he said, Jesus hung on the cross. He said, I thirst! And it just startled me. Because from that body that had never admitted anything any more than a mumble came this strong, powerful voice, I thirst! And the whole sermon was like that. And I thought, where you been hiding that, boy? Where did that come from? It was only later on, as I began to grow in the Lord and find that verse, that I began to understand that God loves to take our weaknesses and make them strengths. Now, those of you who are back there in the back, who are running from God because you think you can't, I have a message to you from God. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Why can't you? Someone says, well, I can't because I don't have the ability. You don't need the ability. All you need is the grace and the gift. You say, I can't. I can't because I'm just try to make up an excuse that works. I don't, you know, a lot of people have this haunting doubt about themselves. And they think constantly, well, even if I tried and did my very best, I would somehow fall short of this. I would fail. I would do my best, but I would fail, and I would bring disgrace on the cause of Christ because I tried and I could not do it. You know why you believe that? It's because you missed one word in Scripture. Now, I want to point out that word, and I want you to look at it in your Bible. Look at verse 7 again of chapter 4. It says, for unto every one of us is given grace. There's that word, isn't it? But how much grace are we given? He goes on and says, according to the measure. There's the word. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. You see, beloved, God has already given you not only the grace, but He's given you the measure. That word means a container for measuring something. It might be a pint jar. It might be a quart jar. It might be a 5-gallon can. It is a container for measuring something. And what that's telling us is that God has figured out the amount of grace that you're going to need to do what He wants you to do, and He's already measured it out to you. So I ask you, if God has already measured out the grace that you need to do to exercise the gift that you have, is there any way that you could ever be short of grace? Could you ever fall short? Is there a possibility that God made a mistake and He didn't give you enough? Is there a possibility that God gave you the wrong brand? Is there a possibility that God gave you the wrong type? Is there a possibility that you're going to need this and you don't have it? No, God says, I've already measured it out to you. I've already given you what you need. My dad was a mechanic, and I grew up going to the parts store with my dad, and he would go into the parts store, he would describe exactly what he needed, the man at the parts counter would give him what he needed, he'd go home, and he'd install it on one of our cars. Well, occasionally, all of you who've ever done any mechanical work know, occasionally you'll be given the wrong part, right? And you'll take it, and it won't work. It's the wrong one. Now I ask you, is there any possibility that God back there in His omniscience gave you what you're not going to need? Did He give you the wrong part? He had to. You have to be sufficient. You have access to all the fullness of God. All of it. You can do it. You can have it. Now, I want to ask you to do something. I know what day this is. I talked about it from the very start. I know that you've been involved in all these things with all these people all this week. I know you've met that family member that you're concerned about. And that has kind of taken away part of your mind. I know you've been out there and done all these things and been all the way up there at Christmas morning trying to plan that. You've done all these things. But I ask you for just a moment to think about this. In the grand scheme of things, for the rest of your life, do you want to go along taking little tiny puffs of God? Is that the way you want to go on the rest of your life? Or do you want to breathe in all the fullness of God in the long run? You want to live in all the fullness of God? I know, beloved, that you may not be able to get all the way there today, but I know this too. I know that you can walk down this aisle or right there where you are if God leads you to do that. You can say, God, I do not want to go along just breathing little puffs. I want all the fullness of God. I want to open up my life, my lungs, and just bring all of you in. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes just a moment?